prophecy of Jeremiah in the chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. We want to enter the chapter at the 6th verse. Jeremiah 3, the verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. It came to pass through the likeness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stalks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. The Lord said unto me that the backsliding of Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye multiplied and increase in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, How shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, Thou hast called me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely, as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. They have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. We'll end at the verse 22. Let's keep the word of God open. Let's briefly pray. Our Father, we come before thee this evening. We come to preach thy word, and how we need thee in filling of thy spirit. Come, Lord. Come and fill us and deed us. The power of thy spirit tonight. Come, Lord, by and as the words of the hymn that we sang at the very commencement, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Lord, pass us not by tonight. Make a highway for thy word. Give us help and power in the Holy Ghost, and grant, O Father, a word for some waiting soul. Come, grant us, Father, the aid of God tonight. Lord, may great glory be brought to thy name as a consequence of this meeting, in this house, in this village, in this county, in this nation, in this continent, in this world, even tonight. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In our reading this evening, we find God, through His prophet Jeremiah, exposing a particular sin that was rampant amongst God's covenant people, Israel, in the days of Josiah the king. The sin pinpointed by God was the sin of backsliding. On seven different occasions, the word backsliding in both the singular and plural forms appears in Jeremiah's prophecy, the chapter 3, the verses 6, 8, 11, 12, 14, and 22. Israel, quite simply, had forsaken the Lord. They had forgotten God, as we read at the end of the verse 21. They have forgotten the Lord, their God. As a people, they were charged with committing spiritual adultery by worshipping other gods in high places and among the groves. Verse number 6, the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Strong words indeed. J.C. Ryle remarked concerning the sin of backsliding, it is a miserable thing to be a backslider. Of all unhappy things that can befall a man, he said, I suppose it is the worst. A stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden covered with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins. All these are sad sights, but a backslider is a sadder sight still. In the moments that then remain to us, I want to speak upon the subject, upon the sin of backsliding, trusting that God, by His Spirit, will address all of our hearts. And if there be one here tonight who has fallen, one who has grown cold, one who has drifted from the Lord, I trust that tonight will herald your return unto your God. I've entitled my message tonight, How to Be a Successful Backslider. How to be a successful backslider. I suppose by way of introduction we could say that the golden rule for backsliding is a little at a time. Just a little at a time. Finding yourself in a backslidden state is not something that just is achieved overnight. It takes time and effort on the part of the professing Christian to become a successful backslider. Most people make the mistake of believing that some great sin is the start of their road to successful backsliding, but that is not the case. Little by little, the decay starts in until at last the individual finds themselves out of fellowship and out of communion with God. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you a successful backslider? So what things must you do if you want to be a successful backslider? There is irony. There is irony in the title tonight. For it's not my desire as a preacher of the gospel to have any of God's professing people to fall into a state of backsliding. But what is it? What things must you do if you want to be a successful backslider? Well, the first thing that you must do is that you must assume that you can live the Christian life in your own power. You must assume that you can live the Christian life in your own power. Success in the Christian life is based upon the acceptance of two fundamental truths. The first of these is that without God, you are nothing. That's the first truth. Without God, you are nothing. The second truth is that without God you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Christ alerted His followers to that very truth. In John chapter 15 and the verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. A daily dependence upon God To live the Christian life is an absolute necessity if you are to succeed as a believer. An independent spirit, an autonomous attitude is a sure sign that a person is on the slippery slope with regard to spiritual things. My mind goes to an example within the Old Testament. An individual who failed in this very area. A man upon whom the Spirit of God came upon at times. A man who saw many mighty victories won against his enemies. Yet a man who became so confident in his own ability that he forgot. He forgot that everything that he did was achieved by the help and by the power of Almighty God. The man to whom I refer to is Samson. What a man of God he was. Having known God's power in the past, Samson foolishly thought that he could get closer and closer to the world, and yet it would have no consequences upon his life. He believed that he could tinker with sin. He could get closer and closer to the world, and yet he believed that God's smile would still be upon his life. What a foolish man he was. At the cry that went up in Samson's life, there we read in the book of Judges that the cry came, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." His head was shorn of his hair, the seat of his power. And now it says in the Word of God that he stirred himself. He awoke out of his sleep. He said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself." And he wist not that God had departed from him. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, Samson believed that he could defeat the enemies in his own strength, yet he forgot that his strength came from God alone. The sad record of Scripture is that for a period of time, Samson became the laughingstock of his enemies and became the object of their mocking entertainment. I wonder, is there someone here in this meeting house tonight? Someone listening to this recording? And this is the place where you have fallen. This is the point of your downfall. Like David in Psalm 30 in the verse 6, you said in times of spiritual prosperity, "I shall never be moved." And yet just as David would find out in his sin with Bathsheba, he was moved. He could not trust his own heart. And maybe you find through bitter experience that you cannot live the Christian life for one moment without the help and the power of God. See, if you want to be a successful backslider, then attempt to live the Christian life in your own power, and it'll not be long before spiritual decay has set into your life. But if you want to be a successful Christian, then rely on the infilling of the Spirit of God day by day, leaning on Him moment by moment, seeking His help, His grace, and His power. Be a successful backslider, then assume that you can live the Christian life in your own power. Secondly, if you want to be a successful backslider, allow the world to captivate your heart. Allow this world to captivate your heart. You'll be sure on the road to backsliding. This world is no friend to God or to His grace. Its amusements, its attractions, its advertising, its power, its possessions, prestige, its fame, its fun, its fortunes are all lures of the devil employed by him to draw the believer away from their first love. I read this recently. To be a successful backslider, you need to get as much of a worldly spirit into your life as your conscience will allow. There are several ways which you can do this. Love of money is a sure winner. This is a very respectable sin and will hardly be noticed by your Christian friends. Again, under a cloak of spiritual zeal, you can dabble in all sorts of worldly alliances which will help to weaken your spiritual resistance. For example, you may engage in an intimate friendship with an unbeliever of the opposite sex and justify it on the grounds that you may win this one to Christ. Many a Christian has been kept in a healthy state of backsliding by this means. I think of two examples in the Word of God, both one in the old, one in the new. And this was the reason for their departure from God. They allowed the world to captivate their heart and to win their affections. Although she had physically left the suburbs of Sodom, Lot's wife left her heart there. And as a consequence, she looked behind and incurred the judgment of God, because Lot's wife had a heart that had been won and captivated by the world. She didn't want to leave the world behind. I think of one of Paul's fellow helpers, Demas. He failed to heed the instruction given to the young man in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of a life. As a consequence of dropping his guard, the world got first of all in through that young man's eyes, then eventually rested into his mind, and then captivated his heart, so much so that Paul would write with sadness, I believe, there in this closing letter in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. I was reading commentators on that very verse. They do not believe that Demas, as it were, went back into the sins of this world, but he just liked the comforts of the world. He didn't like the persecution that came along by standing alongside the Apostle Paul. And so he goes back to a more comfortable lifestyle, back in, as it were, the trenches. And so he just loved this world. And maybe in this house tonight, you're just a little bit like Demas. Yes, you say that you're a Christian, but you'll go no further. You'll not identify yourself with the people of God. You'll not, as it were, take a stand for Christ in the workplace. You'll not stand up for Christ in your school or in your university. No, you're happy, as it were, to be a silent, a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me say to you, no such thing. Because after the death of Jesus Christ, Nicodemus, who tried to be a secret disciple, took a stand for Jesus Christ. There are no secret disciples. You're either with Christ or you're against Him. He cannot serve God and mammon. Maybe you're here tonight and the world has stolen your heart. Stolen your heart. You've allowed the love of this world to replace your love for the Savior. You're more now comfortable among the unsaved than you are among the saved. Over the years, you're more concerned about the things of time than the things of eternity. Be warned. As one of old said, to love the world and the things that are in the world is one of the chief sources of danger to our soul's welfare. One of the chief sources of danger to our welfare is love of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Backslider, even sinner in this meeting, ask yourself these questions. Will the possession of the masses of wealth or the fading memories of past enjoyments, will those things bring peace to me in my dying hour? I think not. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? So why run after such fleeting trinkets and such passing charms? I counsel you tonight in the gospel. Seek Christ, who is the pearl of great price, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Seek after Him tonight, and find in Him your all in all. The third thing that you must do, if you want to be a successful backslider, is to avoid the means of grace at all costs. Avoid the means of grace at all costs. I mean by the means of grace your non-attendance at the house of God, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, your neglect of private Bible reading and study, your disregard for the place of private and public prayer. Let's take each one in turn. Your non-attendance at God's house. Many a backslider to set aside the command, and yes, it is a command. A command of Scripture, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Many have disregarded that command and found themselves gradually missing meeting with God and with His people at the appointed times of worship. A Sunday evening here, a Sunday evening there, a prayer meeting here, a prayer meeting there, a Lord's Day morning meeting here, a Lord's Day morning meeting there. And soon your attendance is so sporadic that the minister is more surprised at your attendance at God's house than your absence. It was Thomas who missed so much that Lord's Day evening meeting. He missed the blessing of God. He missed God's power, the commissioning of the disciples. What blessings he missed because he forsook the society of the saints in the Lord's Day evening after the events of the cross. Backslider, ask yourself this question. What have you missed? What have you missed by your non-attendance? I tell you what you've missed. You've missed the word of comfort to your heart. You've missed that challenge to your soul. You've missed that word in season. You've missed that very sermon that would have steered you away from the rocks that you've made shipwreck on. If only you had been in God's house. If only you had heard the word of God. If only you had been attending the means of grace. You would not have made shipwreck off your life. Because you've missed it. What a mess you've made. You need not avoid God's house to be a backslider, though. I want you to remember that. You can be far from God, even as you sit in God's house, as you sit in the pew, sing the hymns, bow your head in prayer, listen to the message, but yet no warmth within the soul. Is that you tonight? I think about the neglect of private Bible reading and study. Often the rot starts here. That daily intake of spiritual food is neglected one late night to be followed by another, another, another until the Word of God sits from one Sunday to the next without its owner being taking up the Word and handling it and reading it. And then there are others. They have substituted the reading of God's Word for some good Christian book. In this way, they've hardly even noticed that they've stopped reading the Word of God. It has become, as it were, a substitute. In actual fact, there are some people, and they place greater relevance on Karen Kingsbury than the King James Bible. Nothing wrong. And yet we are to read the Word. It is the Word that brings the blessing to the soul. Is this where you have fallen, backslider? Did the Word become neglected because of work pressure impinging upon your quiet time? Did the reading of the Scriptures fall by the wayside as family duties stole from you the free time that you once enjoyed investing and reading the studying of God's precious Word? Has the habitual reading and commendable habit of the reading of the Word, has it become replaced by the reading of the newsletter or some gossip-filled magazine? I tell you, spiritual strength for the believer is gleaned from the Word of God. And if we forsake the Word, then we become spiritual weaklings. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. What about disregard for the place of prayer? I quote again J.C. Ryle. He said, backsliding generally first begins with neglect of private prayer. C.H. Spurgeon said, 9 times out of 10, declension from God begins in the neglect of private prayer. I want you to remember that it was a sleeping Peter in the prayer closet of Gethsemane that became susceptible to denying his Lord around the open fire. A sleeping Peter in the place of prayer. You see, prayer fortifies the soul. It guards sins the life. This is where it acts as a buffer against the onslaught of the evil one. It's a weapon that Satan wishes to decommission in the life of God's people, putting it beyond the use. Therefore, the enemy of our soul is quite happy to see many of God's people sit idly by while others of God's people take up the work. Those exhausted souls, they take up the burden of the work. Do you know why he's happy? He's happy because if he can get a Christian working, he can stop him praying. If he can get him working so much that he has no time to pray, well then the evil one is glad. And so, believer, as you sit idly by, you remember that even the evil one is using your laziness as a means of causing others to become so exhausted in God's work that they don't even have time to pray anymore. Too busy to pray? Then you're too busy. Too busy. As work commitments relegated the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night to an optional extra, rather than it seen as an essential to your Christian growth, I trust not. We have 3 times of prayer in this house. And I'm sure that each of God's professing people could be at least in 1 of those 3 times of prayer. I leave that challenge with you. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord tonight. Take it as it's from the Lord. And so if you want to be a successful backslider, avoid the means of grace at all costs. And you'll be well on your way to backsliding. The 4th thing that you must do to help you to become a successful backslider is that you must acquire light views of the sin of backsliding. Acquire light views of the sin of backsliding. The successful backslider thinks lightly of the sin of backsliding. They almost boast in the fact that they're a backslider. You meet them on the doors and they say, "I'm a backslider," as if it's something to be proud of. And yet they fail to remember how God views the sin of backsliding. That view is spelt out for us in Jeremiah chapter 2, the verse number 19. Let me point it out to you. Jeremiah 2 verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter. It is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. It is an evil and a bitter thing. I trust you know that, backslider. I trust you know that in this house, that the sin that you're committing is an evil and is a bitter thing. Backsliding brings great dishonor upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His church. And do you realize something else about backsliding? It has the tendency to infect others. Did we not see that in our reading this evening? I believe that we did. What happened? Israel backslides from the Lord. Verse 7. And I said after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister feared not. But what did she do? She went and played the harlot also. Israel's backsliding led to Judah's backsliding. Oft times the sinner or the backslider does not realize the sin of backsliding, because you see the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Constantly going on, constantly not worrying about the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust in this meeting tonight that you understand that your departure from God has done what it has done to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in this village. I trust you understand that. The great dishonor that your backsliding has caused to the cause of Jesus Christ in this community. I trust you understand that. It has caused the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme the name of God. I trust you feel the weight of it. It is a grievous thing. It is a heinous thing. It is a wicked thing. It is an evil thing. And I trust that God, by His Spirit, is convicting you of it. That tonight you're willing to abandon it. See God restoring grace. Another way that it will assist you to become a successful backslider is to affiliate and associate with the wrong company. Just ask Peter. Instead of staying close to his fellow disciples the night of Christ's trial, Peter found himself in the company of sinners around a fire of coals in the courtyard of the high priest's house. He failed to heed the instruction of Psalm 1, verse 1, where the blessed man is described as one who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now in wrong company, Peter begins to use wrong language. And so much that he now, the gospel writer tells us that he denies his Lord with oaths and cursing and swearing. Oh, how the mighty are fallen! That's what we could write over it. Oh, how the mighty are fallen! How did it happen? He affiliated with the wrong company. He got into the wrong company. Young person, older person, get yourself into unsavory company. Start to associate yourself more and more with the unsaved, and it'll not be long before you're drifting from God. I assure you, been there. Folks, I've been there. I've been there. That unsaved boyfriend or girlfriend that you hoped that you could persuade to become a Christian has taken you further away from God. That group of friends that you wouldn't break with the very first time you trusted in Christ, that group of friends, what were they able to do? They were able to coax you back to the public bar. Yeah, maybe for a soft drink at the start, but that progressed. Something stronger. Now you're held by the power of alcohol. And here you are, a miserable backslider, with divided loyalties and with split allegiances. Christ and his family in one hand, Satan, and your unsaved friends on the other. In the words of Joshua, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Today, this day. The last way in which, and will help you to be a backslider and remain a successful backslider, is affirm that at some future dates you will return to God, but not just now. Affirm that at some future dates you will return to God, but not just now. Many a backslider has made the resolution that one day soon, I'll mend my ways. The backslider will say that they intend to do something about this matter, but they never say when that one day will be. Instead, they keep it all very vague as possible, trying not to think too much about it as they continually put off their return to the Lord. I'm sure the prodigal, on countless occasions, I'm sure he thought about returning to his father. And yet it wasn't until he arose and came to his father that reconciliation and restoration was experienced in his life. I ask you tonight, how many failed attempts have you made to return unto your God? How many nights have you set out from home to come to this place of worship and said in your heart that that would be the night This would be the night of my return, only to arrive back at home in the same spiritual state as you left that home. Many times have you been so near, speaking to the pastor, the visiting preacher, some other Christian, and yet you've decided to wait just another week. Many times. And many times have you put off some future date to return on to the Lord. Do you want to be a successful backslider? If you do, then continue to assume that you can live the Christian life in your own power. Allow the world to captivate your heart. Avoid the means of grace at all costs. Acquire like views of this sin of backsliding. Affiliate and associate with the wrong company and affirm that at some time in the not too distant future that you're going to return to God, but not just now. But God would seek your return tonight. He would seek you to return, wandering one. So return. God has sent me with this message. And so let the words that we find in the verses 12 and 13 off the chapter that we read, apply them personally to your heart. Place your name where we see the word Israel. Let's read it. Return thou backsliding. Let me place the word one in there. Place your name there. Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice. Turn ye backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. A wonderful truth. There are words of comfort found in Hosea 14 verse 4. Words of comfort for the returning one. God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I trust that God will draw you to himself. And I trust that none of us, preacher included, that none of us would become a successful backslider. But that we would guard ourselves, that we would live in the power of God's Spirit, that we would not allow this world, but the world that is to come, to captivate our hearts, that we would be in the means of grace every time the doors are opened and that circumstances allow, that we would realize the sin of backsliding is a wicked and a bitter thing, that we would affiliate and associate with the people of God, and that we would stay close to the Savior and keep short accounts with him. This is the way to be a successful Christian. So backsliding one, return. Your husband waits for your return. May tonight be a great homecoming meeting. Tonight may you be restored by his grace. And may you be embraced by his love. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts. Let's unite in prayer, please. This message has been working on my heart for some weeks now. I believe it is for someone. So I trust that tonight, if we can help you, if we can assist you, please mention it at the door. You know the number of the manse. You know where we live. If we can help you in any way, well, we make ourselves available to you. We trust that God will bless even his word. Return. Return. Tonight. This night. Return. My backsliding one. Our Father in heaven, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt guard our hearts. Lord, we pray that there will be none in this meeting who profess the name of Christ that will bring dishonor upon Thy name by falling into a place of spiritual adultery. We ask of Thee that Thou wilt come and keep us from falling. We praise Thee that Thou art able to keep those things which we commit unto Thy keeping. You're able to keep them. And so we give the keeping of our souls to Thee. We're praying that Thou wilt preserve our testimonies. And for those that are not saved tonight, oh, may they turn to the Saviour. May they turn to Christ. Let this be the night of salvation. We're looking to Thee. Bring the wanderer home. And we'll rejoice, as heaven will, at their return to the Saviour. Part us with Thy blessing. And may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide upon those that love Christ and that wait with expectancy His great return. And for those that know not the Saviour, may they come to know God through the Son, because this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Answer prayer. May heaven be pleased with all that has occurred in this meeting house tonight. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.